So I think we all have those kinds of things in our lives that just tick us off, cheese us off. You know, sometimes there's the big button issues, and some of us have those whole kind of control panels arrayed across our backs, and our friends are able to push the different buttons just to inflame us about some particular issue. And we get an insight in our first reading today from Exodus 22 about the kinds of things that cheese God off. And he's getting pretty worked up, pretty angry. He's attacking people, he's slaying people, he's killing people. And what's the question? What's the issue at heart? It's all around the question of justice, about, remember, you were foreigners, you were slaves, you were people that didn't have any of that freedom. And so when you get into the land, when you get into the land that I will show you, you've got to change that way of thinking. Just because you were oppressed doesn't mean you have the right to oppress others. That's so often the thing that we've seen across human history, and it really breaks the heart of God, it seems. He's inviting us into this deep sense of there's a different way to live. And Jesus, when he's asked this question, you know, out of all of the commandments, and when you get from Exodus 20, where we get the first of the covenant commandments, the 10 words or the 10 commandments that we have, and then you trace from there to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, the rabbis discerned the presence of a total of 613 different commandments that are present there. Interestingly, there are 365, one for each day of the year, of things you shall not do, prohibitions, things that we are commanded. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, to name but a few. And in addition to 365 prohibitions, there are 248 prescriptions, things that you shall do. You shall honor your father and mother. You shall keep holy the Sabbath day, and so on. And so these 613 commandments, or mitzvot, become a kind of system of operating within the whole sense of Judaism is structured around them. But are they all equal? Do you have to obey all of the 613 in the same way? A lot of them had to do with rituals around the temple. And so there were questions when the temple was destroyed. Well, do we still have to try and find a way to be faithful to those commandments and those prescriptions? And of course, the rabbis debated this, and it was one of the questions that was often put to a rabbi. Well, is there a system of ordering it? Is there one commandment that we have to obey first above all others? And the answer that Jesus gives is a pretty standard kind of answer, because the prayer that he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, we call it the Shema because it's the first word in the Hebrew, is the prayer that every Jewish person was instructed to take on their lips when they rose in the middle of the day and when they were going to bed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And then Jesus quotes from this, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, we say, and all your strength. And then Jesus says, and a second is like it, and of course it's linked by that word, love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. The Hebrew word is lev. It's, of course, in the ancient understanding, the heart was the seat of everything. They didn't really have a clear sense of what the brain kind of did. That came much later. And so in the gospel version today, we have the word mind, but there's not a word for mind in Hebrew. Heart is the center of every element of your life. The lev was the source of everything that was good. All of the life essence really derived from the heart. The second word there, you shall love the Lord from your heart and all of your soul, we say. But the word in Hebrew is the word nephesh. And it's the neck, or more properly, the throat. Because they understood that something happened when the throat was slit. Something happened that prevented life from fully flourishing. And so there was this sense that obviously there was the movement of air and blood and all of this connecting the head to the rest of the body. And so if something happened in the nephesh, then a person would die. And so it was seen as the very core of the life principle of a person. And then the third thing, the strength, or your me'od is the Hebrew word. It's the sense of muchness, the capacity to work, you know, the ability to do things, to interact with the world. So from the core of who we are as humans to the essence of our life and to our strength and our ability to integrate in the world, all three of those things are brought into this unity by Ahava, by love, that it's in loving God that we're able to experience that fullness of life. But Jesus says there is this second that resembles it. And I think most of us find that commandment that we find in Leviticus 19 verse 18 really challenging to be faithful to love your neighbor as yourself. Some of our neighbors are wonderful. Some of our neighbors are just extraordinary people, and they're super easy to love, both in terms of, you know, our neighborhoods, but also in terms of our, you know, our sense of a country and our identity. And so that sense of loving everyone, loving those who are our neighbors, can be a super challenging kind of thing to do, especially if they're people that we just don't agree with, people that have a different worldview, people that have a different political persuasion or a different just whole outlook. You know, people that just love pushing our buttons, it can be really tricky to love them. And Jesus is inviting us precisely in that moment to do just that. But I think the thing we stumble on is often the last part of that phrase, to love your neighbor as yourself. And until we actually discover the way to love ourselves, how on earth can we love those around us? How can we love our neighbors until we've discovered a way to be soaked in that love? You know, just to rest in that love. You can't give what you haven't got. So to take time each day in prayer just to be in the presence of God, the God who has called us, the God who has created us, the God who has fashioned us and is inviting us into life, to take time, and even, you know, just a few minutes is probably enough, just to be able to stop and just to be there and to let God look at us, to let God be aware of all of our day, all of the things that have transpired, all of the great interactions and the interactions that have wounded us and the things that have hurt us in some way, and to just hold that space and to make ourselves available to God in that space, just to be there and just to say, here I am, Lord. Will you just love me where I am? Will you fill me where I am? Will you bring your healing? Will you bring your peace? Will you fill me with that love so that I've got something to give? And so there is this flow that kind of happens. We need to receive that love, but then we also need to practice growing in that by sharing that love and making that choice to love those people who are really challenging to love. Right now, I invite you just to think of one person. Think of someone that you know is hurting right now, someone that you're just really struggling to love, perhaps. Just bring that person's name to mind. First, just say a prayer for them. Ask God to bless them. Ask God just to be present in that person's life and pray that you might receive some love so that you can share that love with that person. And ask for the opportunity also just to be with them today, this week, in some way, whether that's giving them a call, whether it's leaning over the fence and saying, you know, a nice civil word to them, whatever it might be, sending a text, sending an email. There's all kinds of possibilities of interacting with people. But first, we need to invite the Lord into that place, especially if we find that person a really challenging person, and pray for some healing to happen. Pray that you might be an instrument of God's grace and God's love into that person's life. It's a beautiful experience and a beautiful way to be present within other people's lives today. So let's indeed invite the Lord to teach us how to love Him more, how to be filled with His love, but also then how to share that love with those around us.